Put your flags up in the sky. Juggle on the wall. And run on side to side.
World Cup greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a 30-minute World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Germany will play Argentina in Sunday's World Cup football final in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Germany is bidding for its fourth world title, while Argentina is aiming for its third. And speaking of three, this marks the third time the teams have met in the World Cup final. In the 1986 World Cup final, played in Mexico City, Argentina defeated the then West Germany 3-2. With the score tied at 2-2 and about 6 minutes left, Argentine superstar Diego Maradona threaded a brilliant, delicate pass that Jorge Burucaga converted for the winning goal. And 4 years later, at the 1990 World Cup final in Rome, the Germans gain revenge, winning 1-0 on a penalty shot by Andreas Brehm with about 5 minutes left in the match. As we look forward to Sunday's big game in Rio, the Germans are well aware that scoring 7 goals, like they did against host Brazil in the semifinals, is unlikely. The Germans were able to capitalize on gaping holes in the Brazilian defense. But Germany's assistant coach, Hansi Flick, says Argentina will be a completely different opponent. He says Argentina features a very compact defense and, of course, has an extraordinary player in Lionel Messi. Messi is hoping to solidify his greatness by lifting the World Cup trophy for the first time. Meanwhile, Brazilian star Neymar, who did not play in the semifinal against Germany because of a fractured vertebra, says he'll be supporting Argentina in Sunday's final. Neymar says he wants Barcelona teammates Messi and Javier Mascherano to win football's biggest prize. Neymar singled out Messi for special praise and said the World Cup would be a fitting addition to his bulging trophy cabinet. In Neymar's words, and I quote, "I think he deserves to be champion. I am cheering for him because he is a friend and a teammate, and I wish him a lot of luck." Meanwhile, Brazil will host the Netherlands on Saturday in the capital, Brasilia, in the World Cup's third-place match. The old sports emperor Barry Mann enjoys describing this game as the Kiss Your Sister match.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Put your flags up in the sky.
Hi, this is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Visit VOAfootball.com for live updates on the World Cup in Brazil. The site is optimized for your mobile phone or tablet and will bring you the latest scores, stats, photos, and videos. And everything can be shared with your friends from your mobile device to Facebook and Twitter. World Cup nonstop at VOAfootball.com. I mentioned Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is at @VOASunnySports. I tweeted earlier Friday that it's good to be back in the ball game after being sidelined Thursday by illness. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for the mighty Douglas Mpuga, who provided sporty relief for me on Thursday. Algeria and Nigeria were the top-performing African teams at the World Cup in Brazil. Both the Desert Foxes of Algeria and the Super Eagles of Nigeria reached the round of 16, marking the first time two African teams have advanced to the knockout stages at the same World Cup. Following Nigeria's elimination by France, Nigeria's sports ministry gave the boot to top Nigeria Football Federation officials, a move that did not sit well with FIFA, World Football's governing body. On Wednesday, FIFA suspended Nigeria from all international competition and gave the ministry until next Tuesday, July 15th, to reinstate the NFF officials who were sacked. There's been mixed reaction in Lagos to FIFA suspending Nigeria for government interference. First, we hear from Super Eagles fan Tunlope Ogunwobi.
Even FIFA also mixes football with politics themselves. So, I mean, the government of a nation should move the nation forward. And if the government of the nation feels that the football house is having issues, and really, Nigerian Football Federation is really, there's so much politics in it. They're always quarreling with the coaches, complaining about some players not being there. So the government should sanitize issues.
Next up, we hear from Emeka Enwani, a football commentator in Nigeria.
The NFF, they have budgetary allocations. The NFF is captured in the budget of every government in this country. So that interference must be there as long as they are bringing out that money. And that is my quarrel with FIFA. FIFA will not tell Nigerians that they don't know that the government funds football in this country and that the government funds NFF. I am not saying that interference is good. I know what FIFA, you know, means by not interfering, so that if any federation wants to do what they want to do, they will do it without thinking of, oh, this person is related to this governor, this person is related to this person in the presidency. But it cannot be possible in Nigeria when that same federation gets money from the government. I am just saying that if I'm in government and this type of thing happens, I will just say, NFF, we are not fighting. We are not quarreling. If there is war in this country, nobody will talk about football. So the government must make that enabling environment ready.
That's Emeka Enwani, a football commentator in Lagos, reacting to FIFA's suspension of Nigeria. Joining us once again from Johannesburg with our latest African football quiz question, World Cup related, is David Legg.
Who was the most successful coach of an African team at all the World Cups? Now, I stress an African team, so in other words, it can be a foreign coach, or it can be an African coach. Now, what's very important is how you decide who has been the most successful. And what you do, Sonny, is you base it on percentage success. And what you do is you look at the record of each coach. Now, for example, I'm going to pick out one coach, Vidinic. He coached Morocco in 1970, and he coached what was then called Zaire in 1974. So he coached at two consecutive World Cups with different countries. Now, his record, Sonny, and he's obviously not the winner, and that's why I can mention him, is six matches played, one draw and five defeats. And unfortunately, the reason he saw his team score only two goals but concede 20 is, of course, Zaire were hammered 9-0 at the 1974 World Cup by the then Yugoslavia. So in other words, Sonny, he's played six matches now. In each match, you've got 3 points available for a win. So that's a total of 18 points. And he got one draw, so he only got 1 point. So what you do is you get that one, the 1 point, you divide it by 18, which is the potential total, and then you multiply by 100. And that's how you work out your percentage success. Because, Sonny, it's the only fair way to do it, because like you take a coach like Henri Michel of France, he's coached at nine matches at the World Cup, and then other coaches have only coached at, say, three. So I think this is a very fair system. So what we want to know is who has been the most successful coach of an African team at the World Cups, and that's going, Sonny, from 1934 to 2010. And I'm sure you're going to have a very good prize or prizes for the winners, because they're going to sweat a bit on this one, Sonny.
Yes, David, we will have some of those delightful VOA goodies for the winners. Why don't we set a deadline, David, of July 13th, which is when the World Cup final will be played in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. David and I will now give our addresses where you can send your entries. And once again, we have a July 13th deadline for our latest African football quiz question.
VOA!
It's david.leg, and leg is spelled L-E-G-G-E, at AFP, that's Agence France Presse, .com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.leg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com.
You can send me email at sonny@voanews.com. Sonny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. And pick up a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. My full postal mailing address is The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
This is the Voice of America, Washington.
The big basketball story on Friday was LeBron James announcing he's returning to the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron spent the past four seasons with the Miami Heat, and he led Miami to four consecutive NBA Finals, and twice the Heat lifted the trophy. But in an exclusive story with Sports Illustrated magazine, LeBron ends by saying, "I'm coming home." LeBron is from Ohio, and he still has a deep fondness for the state and the Cavaliers. LeBron was the biggest name available in the NBA free agent market. And yes, he's returning to the Cleveland Cavaliers after winning two trophies with the Miami Heat. LeBron James going back to Cleveland with the Cavaliers. And let's give a shout out for my Voice of America engineer this evening, Audrius Regis. Kick it, Audrius.
Kick it.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio program. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports at 1800 UTC. One of Ghana's most polarizing players at the World Cup in Brazil was Kevin Prince Boateng. Boateng and teammate Sule Muntari were suspended right before Ghana's final group match against Portugal. And this evening, our African football guru David Legg has some feedback about Boateng.
Yes, certainly, Sonny, in the interest of fairness, and that's what the Sunny Side of Sport is all about. I had quite a few emails, most of them backing up my view on Kevin Prince Boateng, but some saying, what about his point of view? Well, we're proud to bring it. He's now discussing, Sonny, the build-up to the World Cup, where Ghana, of course, flopped badly. They lost to the United States. They also lost to Portugal. And in between, they drew with Germany. So they had 1 point out of a possible nine and were eliminated. But Kevin Prince Boateng, who was kicked out of the camp, allegedly for insulting the Ghana coach, Kwesi Appiah, he says it was a nightmare from the first day of the preparations to the end. One group flew through Atlanta, the other New York. We sat for around 9 hours at the airport, a total of 19 hours on the road. Then he talks about going to Brazil itself, Sonny. He says the flight from Miami to Brazil took 12 hours, and we sat and concentrated in economy class. The legs ached. Kevin Prince Boateng goes on to say, it sounds strange for an average citizen, but for a competitive athlete, that is a disgrace. Now, this is, to me, Sonny, at the very heart of the problem of African football. He says the Ghana Football Association president sat in business class with his wife and two children. Now, I'm going to repeat that. The Ghana FA president sat in business class with his wife and two children. Back to Kevin Prince Boateng. He says, in Brazil, we finally had a charter flight, but my luggage was lost. 2 days without football boots, it was a disaster. He then talks about that issue, Sonny, that we reported on your show previously, the $3 million that had to be airlifted in cash to Brazil to pay the Ghanaians. That, he says, was the smallest problem. Everything had accumulated over a month. It was a pure disaster. Poor training conditions and sleep options. I just wonder where all the money was flowing to. And Sonny, this is, we're now speaking about Ghana. You could repeat this for just about every country in Africa. And to me, the very telling line is that the Ghana FA president sat in business class with his wife and two children. As far as I know, Sonny, and I've checked the list of the Ghana squad, neither the president nor his wife nor the two children were in that 23-person squad. So I'm not quite sure why the players were not in business class and the president in economy class. His legs might have ached, but I'm sure he would have recovered.
And David, what about Patrick Soufflé? I know he also has some interesting comments.
Yes, Sonny, we mentioned him briefly on the show last week, but I've managed to get his exact quotes. Now, this is over the bonus issue, and you remember that the Cameroonians, they seem to spend more time working their pocket calculators than they did actually training in the build-up to the World Cup. And I'm just slightly exaggerating when I say that. He says, at the top, players are fighting for bonuses, and we should also mention the officials, but that money should be used for infrastructure, to build new stadiums and give the young ones somewhere to play. And now, Sonny, again, I think a very telling quote from Patrick Soufflé. He says, since we reached the World Cup quarterfinals in 1990, there has been no new stadiums built in Cameroon. He says, maybe some countries have less talented players, but they run football well. It all reflects on the football on the pitch. You can have the best players in the world, but if you don't prepare well, you cannot achieve. Now, to me, Sonny, the words of Patrick Soufflé and also Kevin Prince Boateng, they ring very loud alarm bells for African football. And as long as we've got presidents who think that they belong in the business class, while the players are stuck into the economy class seats, who knows, maybe we'll never have an African winner of the World Cup.
David, getting back to Kevin Prince Boateng, his half-brother, of course, plays for Germany. Do you think Kevin Prince Boateng will ever play again for the Black Stars of Ghana?
Oh, Sonny, that's an easy one to answer for me. I think it's a big no. No. Even if they do invite him, I think he's had enough. As I read through his quotes, I could almost feel the anger he must have had. They were clearly really disappointed. And you see, Sonny, this is the sort of inside information that didn't come out in the media prior to Ghana's first match. And I think if we had known what was really going on behind the scenes, we wouldn't have been there predicting that Ghana would go on to reach the semifinals. And I mean, I have said repeatedly on your show that Ghana would not make the second round, but I had based that purely on football. I believed that the Germans who did and the Portuguese who didn't would be both stronger than Ghana. So in a way, I was right, but I was also wrong. I said Ghana would not make it, but I was looking at it from a football point of view. And Sonny, it's been so interesting, all this talk about Africa reaching the semifinals and going on to win the World Cup in the near future. So what I decided to do on behalf of the Sunnyside of Sport is I went back to 1934, to the first time an African team, it was Egypt, played in the World Cup. And I took note of every result since, against Europe, against South America, against CONCACAF, which is North and Central America, and against Asia. And Sonny, I suggest that all our listeners to the Sunnyside of Sport sit down and stay calm as I read out these figures, because you might be in for one hell of a shock. First of all, Sonny, against Europe, there have been 18 matches between teams from Europe and Africa, and the results do not make pretty reading for Africans. We have won 16 out of 80. That's exactly 20%. So what that means, Sonny, is every five times Africa and European teams come together at the World Cup, Africa win just one of those five matches. That is simply not good enough. We have drawn 22 and we have lost 42. Again, if we look at that 42 losses, that means more than half the matches between Africa and Europe are won by European teams. Sonny, South America, I'm afraid, does not make any prettier reading. There have been 25 matches. Africa have won three. That's right, one, two, three. Three out of 25, not even 20%. They've drawn five, and they've lost 17. So 17 of the 25 matches against South American sides, Africa have lost. Now, I'm sure most Africans probably think matches against CONCACAF countries, that Africa definitely have come out on top. Not so, I'm afraid. The statistics are quite clear. Eight matches played, three wins for Africa, three wins for CONCACAF, and two draws. In other words, we're dead level with CONCACAF. And then we come to Asia, and I'm sure in Nigeria, in Ghana, our listeners in Kenya, in Tanzania, in Zambia, in Zimbabwe, will say to themselves, but we must be stronger than the Asians. The answer is, we're not. There have been 14 matches. Africa have won four, Asia have won four, and six have been drawn. So just like North and Central America, Africa are only level with Asia. And when you go to the combined figure, Sonny, of matches played by Africa at the World Cup, it's 127 matches. That's from 1934 to the defeats of Algeria and Nigeria last week. 127 played, we have won just 26. We have drawn 35, and we've lost 66. Sonny, in this case, I believe statistics don't lie. I think they tell a very serious story. Africa has got a long way to go.
David, if we can continue with the statistics, two of the five African teams in Brazil, Algeria and Nigeria, reached the round of 16. So if we base it on percentages, that's a 40% showing by the Africans. CONCACAF sends three of its four teams through to the knockout stages, Mexico, the USA, and Costa Rica, for a percentage of 75%. Costa Rica, David, the surprise team in Brazil, making it all the way to the quarterfinals?
Oh, yes, Sonny. I followed, I think, the same route as just about every other media person from Iceland to Argentina. As far as we were concerned, Group D was going to be very tough to decide on because you had England, you had Italy, and you had Uruguay. And I think the issue for the media was not even considering Costa Rica, but who of those other three former World Cup winners? Remember, Uruguay won it twice, Italy have won it four times, and England have won it once. Which of those two from three would qualify? Nobody, but nobody outside of Costa Rica gave the Costa Ricans a chance. And the interesting thing, Sonny, is football can be very cruel indeed. Costa Rica have exited the World Cup without losing a match. If you look back, they beat Uruguay, they beat Italy, they drew with England, they beat Greece, and then they lost to the Netherlands on penalties. And I want to stress to our listeners that when you lose a match in a penalty shootout, the result actually stands as a draw. So if you look at the FIFA record of Costa Rica against the Netherlands will show up as a 0-0 draw. The penalty shootout decides which team advances, but officially speaking, the Netherlands drew that match. They didn't win it. And, you know, Sonny, more and more I've been asked by people, was I not a bit harsh on the show last week saying that basically Africa flopped? Not in the least. The very minimum I expected was one quarterfinalist. That would have meant that we were staying where we were in 2010. Let's go back, Sonny, to the start of the 32-nation World Cups. That was in France in 1998. No African team got beyond the second round. Nigeria were beaten 4-1 by Denmark. In 2002, progress. We saw Senegal match the performance of Cameroon in 1990. They made it to the quarterfinals, but physically they were worn out and they lost 1-0 to Turkey. 2006, only one African team made it to the second round and they went out in the second round. It was Ghana. They had a player sent off, and that is crazy when you're playing against Brazil, and the Black Stars got hammered 3-0. Expectations were very high in 2010. The World Cup had finally come to Africa. South Africa did its proudest hosts. But with six African teams, only one made it to the second round. That was Ghana. Sorry, Sonny, they beat the United States to get to the quarterfinals. And then a certain Luis Suarez came into the picture. He handled the ball. Ghana failed to convert the penalty at the end of extra time. And then they lost on penalties. So the quarterfinals, Sonny, has become very much the ceiling for African teams. And I must say, when I came to do those statistics of all the African results, I was hoping for slightly better figures, particularly against CONCACAF and Asia. And three wins out of 25 matches against South American teams, and one win in every five against European. Sonny, we've got a long road ahead if we're ever going to lift this World Cup trophy.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, in Johannesburg.
Put your flags up in the sky.
And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Audrius Regis for his technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young. Enjoy Sunday's World Cup Finals.